You're gonna do it, make peace with your decision, and you know, whatever the outcome, just be at peace with it. Siva, I'm not gonna lie. I have been really tempted to go with Harlan as well. There's something in me that, like, it's the years in my teenage years being a hipster. Always trying to be different from everyone. But
hello everyone and welcome back to the FBL Banger Show. My name is Siva. I'm joined by Sam for the Game Week 8 preview. And Sam, normally we don't talk about our teams at all, but I thought this week, I felt like your team deserved some some discussion just to see how you got to where you were. Let me just bring it up on the screen now. So you decided, Sam, I'll just recap the scene for those who don't know, okay? So at about, I want to say an hour before deadline, you sent me a team. It looked pretty solid. You had double Newcastle defense. You had double West Ham mids. You had a certain Aston Villa striker in your team.
Yeah.
So you sent the team to me and you asked, should I wildcard? And I said, no, it looks fine. Then 10 minutes later, you sent me another message saying, I've wildcarded. And I asked you why. And you said, oh, no, I was stuck in traffic. I got bored. You know. So
I was literally stuck in a traffic jam. I was really bored. I was like, screw it. I'm going to click the wildcard now. Let's do it.
Okay. So in doing your wildcard, and you sent it back to me, and this is your wildcard team, and I was okay, I guess, if you want to do it. And so you removed a certain person who then went and scored in about the first 10 minutes, and then again, and then again. And by halftime, he had a hat-trick and an assist. Yeah. And he finished the game with 23 points. And obviously, Monster we're talking Hall. About Ollie Watkins.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how I did had you Ollie feel? Watkins
since game week one. Mm-hmm. Really sucked because for the first five game weeks, he didn't do... I mean, he got an assist like every single game or something like that. He just could not finish. And I think we discussed this last week. Sometimes the eye test deceives you. And watching the games, it seems like he's turning into more of a creator role, kind of moving out wide, you know, or dropping back a bit, letting people run past him and stuff like that. I was like, okay, you know, I'll drop him, pick up Moussa Diaby, who looks like a really good asset. And then he proceeds to get his first hat-trick in 3 years or something like that. Monster 23-point haul. The only consolation is that I have Morris, which gave 10 points. So it kind of dampened it a bit. Now, I'm not saying I'm not happy with my wildcard team. I think I still did pretty well. 68 points is good. Yeah. And the structure is a lot better for the weeks moving forward. But it does hurt. It really does hurt. And you know what else hurts? That 15 points from Joachim Anderson on the bench. Whew. So I calculated if I did not wildcard, I would have Watkins playing and I would have to play Anderson. Like, because, you know, Botman was injured and stuff. Anderson would have came in. But overall, because of the strength of my wildcard team, I think I only lost out on around 15 points or something like that. So not season ending, I guess. Can I say something about Joachim Anderson? I've had him since game week one. And I've played him every single week except for two game weeks. Game week 3, which he got 11 points, and game week 7, which he got 15 points. Those are the only 2 weeks this entire season I benched him. So, yeah.
It's tough to rotate defenders, man. What can I say? So, yeah, you could have had 83 points without using your wild card, but 68 points is still a very good score this week. I mean, yeah. I only had like 40-something, so, and I think... most people didn't get above 50, so unless they had Morris and they captained him. So 68, considering you didn't captain Morris. And, you know, for those who want to check out the full team, you can just watch the show. But, I mean, kudos, but how did you feel at the end of the Villa match? Because that's always, like, I feel that's when you're on tilt. Like, to me, and that's one of the worst things, I think, for us, you and I, like, we generally watch games. Like, we don't just, I mean, we try to. And we don't just sort of check scores at the end of the weekend. So, well, how do you deal with that from, like, the time when Villa finished their game and you've seen that 23 points until the end of the weekend when you finally get a decent score?
It was tough, not gonna lie. I guess I'm just a pretty chill person. I'm just like, c'est la vie, you know? That's just the way it is. You know, you gotta make peace with your decisions that you made. And I guess I was just hoping that other guys do decently, which they did. You know, Maurice 10 points is great. So that helped. If Maurice had like 2 points, then oof, that would be a very, very painful. But overall, yeah, I'm just a patient, chill guy, I guess.
Very good. Very self-restrained. Like, I think I would have been half tempted on Saturday night itself to just bring Watkins back in, like having seen that. So
I'm actually gonna keep faith in my decision and not bring Watkins back, even though I have the funds. I have like $3 million in the bank for after this wildcard, you know.
So let's talk about Watkins, right? Because my initial thought coming into this week was simple transfer. I just, you know, just get Watkins, and why be overthinking this? But then you sort of step back and think, okay, so before this week, right? Let's very quickly some stats, right? So you can see on the screen now from his first 14 shots, Ollie Watkins, 0 goals, but 2.4 XG. And we knew this. I mean, we discussed this for so many weeks. His underlying numbers look really decent, but it's just not returning. And then, of course, in the last two game weeks, he gets the goal against Chelsea. Then he gets this hat-trick and 2 assists. And you can see the second image here. So from 1 XG, so less than half of what he's had before this, he suddenly gets 4 goals. How much of this do you think is it's just a freak result? As you mentioned, right? First hat-trick in 3 years. But then again, hat-tricks are rare. It's his first hat-trick since the lockdown.
Unless you're Erling Haaland. Yeah.
Unless you're Haaland. Yeah, that's true. So this is his first hat-trick since the lockdown game where they beat Liverpool. I think it was 7-2. So since then, obviously no hat-tricks. But he's ticked along. And I think he is the third highest in the league for goals and assists combined behind Salah and Haaland. But parking that all to one side, is it just a case of, you know, Brighton was a freak result? Brighton, especially, De Zerbi teams. I think now, you know, it's either, you know, feast or famine kind of. Either they're going to smash you or they're going to get smashed. And maybe next week at Wolves, we will see sort of normality. Maybe he gets one goal, but it's not, I have to get this guy in right now. Like, you can probably wait maybe 1 or 2 weeks. Game week 10, they play Luton. Maybe you could wait until then.
Yeah, I mean, speaking as a former Watkins owner, I think this is definitely an anomaly. Like, you know, he's never been a big scorer type of player. Like, even in previous seasons, he's always kind of ticked along. A goal here, a goal there, bonus. He used to have pens and he lost pens. That also factored into my decision. So I genuinely think you can move forward without Watkins. Now, Watkins is great. You know, he will return over the season. He's a good asset. But at 8, and especially, you know, with only 3 striker slots, you want Alvarez, you want all these other players. So I felt the better play was to go cheaper for Moussa Diaby and then save that money and use it elsewhere. Will they come up to roughly equal scores at the end of the season? Yeah, I think so. So, you know, if they both end up around the same and Diaby's cheaper, why not go for the cheaper option? That was my thinking. Now, if you have the money to spend, let's say if you're not going Salah, you have a lot of money, then yeah, you can park Watkins. He will be a good asset. It's just in terms of value, in terms of, you know, points per million or whatever you want to, whatever metric you want to use for value, I think there are better options.
Okay, so because obviously, as you may have heard, Moussa Diaby was ruled out of this week's Conference League game. So, and Emery's not sure if he makes game week 8. And I think a lot of people are on wildcard this week and a lot of people making transfers this week. So if you can't get to Watkins, or if you, like you say, maybe feel like, you know, you can't make the entire team work, you can't get all the other big hitters in, what are the alternatives? Because for me, I'll start off, obviously, you know, I had Callum Wilson 2 weeks ago, and obviously as soon as I got him, scores a goal and then does Callum Wilson things, gets injured. So it is what it is. But I think this week has opened an opportunity for a new striker in a team that scores a lot of goals. It's a striker who's got great data. Minutes have always been his issue, but I think now his minutes could go up. Can you guess who I'm thinking about?
Darwin Nunes.
Yeah, Darwin Nunes, man.
Read your mind.
Yeah. See, we don't even plan this, you know. Yeah. It's symbiotic almost. But yeah, Darwin Nunes, right? Speaking of science and evolution, is this?
Ooh, nice. I like that.
So, okay, for those who don't know, right? So, Darwin Nunes definitely was training yesterday. I did spend enough time to go watch Liverpool's training video. They do upload one.
You flew? Okay. I thought you flew to Liverpool just to check their training.
We know Gakpo is definitely out for these two games. So he's out for the the Europa League this week, as well as Brighton. And we know that Jota is suspended this week. So Darwin definitely starts this week. Now, the easy reply to Darwin is that game week 9 is post the international break. He's coming back late. He may get benched. My thought to that is it's the first kickoff, so you will get team news. Presumably, you have one bench option. And his fixtures going forward after that are amazing. Liverpool's fixtures are great. They play Forest. They play Luton. And I feel like it may be worth it because we were generally operating under the assumption that Darwin would be first choice. He had a knock before Spurs. Klopp said that. That's why he didn't start. And I don't know. I feel like this is, you don't get many chances. Like, this feels like an opportunity.
I think he's a great 1 week, 2 week punt. Now, you talk about their long-term fixtures. I don't know if he will keep starting once everyone is back, you know? I mean, Gakpo's injury is just a short-term injury, right?
That's what they think.
Yeah, and Jota as well. I don't think it's
a single game suspension.
Yeah, so you know, in two games' time, he may lose his place. If you're gonna wildcard very soon, I think it's a good punt to go because Darwin can be very explosive. I don't know if you remember, Siva, but I was super hot on Darwin when he first came last year, and then he got a red card. Yeah, and all that. But yeah, I still think he has extremely high haul potential. It's just that it's a really short-term punt. If you already use your wildcard like me, I would stay away. If you haven't used your wildcard and you're planning to use it in game week 10 or something like that, then yeah, Darwin is a nice punt.
So you're not tempted if you were on wildcard this week to have Darwin? Bearing in mind that his price... If you're smart enough, you leave a little cash to go up to Watkins, or you can come down to, say, Solanke, Taiwo Awoniyi. Like, there are options. Or, and probably we'll speak about him later, Julian Alvarez.
I don't really like booking in transfers with a wildcard, especially like in these kind of situations where you may really be forced to make the transfer. It's not I'm booking in transfer because the fixtures turn kind of thing. Because, you know, in that kind of situation... where you have other emergencies in your team, you can just, okay, never mind. I'll still play them even though it's a bad fixture. In this kind of case, he may actually completely lose his place. You can argue that, you know, even if he comes on, he can still score and stuff like that. But do you really want that on a wildcard team? Someone whose, you know, minutes are uncertain beyond the next two game weeks. And I just want to say that I think despite having good fixtures this next two game weeks, I mean, they're playing Wolves, and after Wolves, it's going to be... Remind me, Siva.
So they start off, obviously, this weekend, Brighton.
Oh, Brighton, so, sorry. Yeah, Brighton.
So Brighton, obviously. Yeah, Brighton. I mean, would you agree now that Brighton's a good fixture?
Yeah. I think Europe is taking their toll on them. They're getting more injuries. He's having to rotate more, maybe too much. A lot of kids coming in who, you know, Brighton's talent scouting is amazing, but that doesn't mean that they can immediately come in and perform at the same level as the first team. And they have Europe games this week as well.
Yeah,
I think it's starting to get to them. Europe games really gets to most teams who are not used to playing it. You know, there is a thing, right? I don't know what you want to call it, but whenever a so-called weaker team gets Europe, that first season they tend to do really badly in the league. West Ham last year was an example as well. Because it's really hard to juggle all of it. So, yeah. I guess you could say the same about Villa as well, right? But I don't know, maybe Emery has a bit more know-how when it comes to Europe.
I think it's a couple of things. Emery, obviously, style of play, maybe not as... Although it's really high press, but maybe not as intense as De Zerbi. But like you say, yeah. I think ultimately Emery's been there before, done that, so he knows... Although, even as you can see this week, right, Villa is struggling with a couple of injuries. Boubacar Kamara, obviously Moussa Diaby. So, I mean, but Brighton, their depth is just nowhere near compared to what Villa have. Villa have a great bench, whereas Brighton, I mean, they started Hinchelwood. Like, they're just creating names. They're just, you know, randoms.
FM Regents.
You know, randos. Yeah, FM Regents. They're just pulling them out of the school, you know, out of school and then just starting them. And, okay, I take the... I don't want to spend too much time on Darwin because I think it's one of those that you're either really convinced or you're just never going to go near him. So what I would just say is this. I think we were operating under the assumption he is becoming the first choice going into the Spurs game. We know he didn't start Spurs because he had a knock. That's what Klopp told the press. We know he was going to come on because he was fully stripped and ready to come on before Jota managed to get sent off with two yellows in 1 minute. We look at the fixtures. It's Brighton, Everton, Forest, Luton. And I think it's one of those, if you are prepared to take that punt and you hold him for those five games, I think you can come out with like something really significant. And obviously, but you need to hold. You may get one benching and you need to sort of brave yourself through that and hold for that entire time. I do think, I feel like it is worth a shot. Because out of all the Liverpool attackers, it's between Darwin and Luis Diaz in terms of, you know, second to Salah. And I feel like Darwin's just got that goal threat, especially when he's starting. So I don't know. I feel like it's worth a punt, but your risk capital, I guess.
Yeah, high risk, high reward. But I'm also kind of worried on the Liverpool squad as a whole, because I think Curtis Jones has actually been really good in midfield for them. And kind of underrated. Like, people don't really realize it, but he brought a lot of balance to their midfield. Now that he's out, Jota's out, Gakpo's out. I don't know if Diaz, Darwin, okay, Salah maybe not as direct anymore, but the other two are just too direct. I'm really unsure of how well they'll navigate these next few weeks with all these suspensions and things like that. They may do well, they may, but there's an uncertainty there for me. So I'm just staying away, I guess, because there are other assets, I feel, who have a bigger certainty of, or higher chance of returning, I guess, of playing better.
All right, so let's talk about one of those other guys, because I'm guessing you, if you're looking at alternatives to Darwin, especially if you're trying to save some funds, you're looking at cheaper forwards. Let's talk about Julian Alvarez, who I think, I really wish he hadn't scored yesterday. We are recording after the Champions League. City played Leipzig, and I was really enjoying this week, because start of the week, everyone has been talking about selling Haaland and Alvarez, selling one of them, because City look like they're out of form, and then they play Arsenal, very tough fixtures coming up, you know, Arsenal, Brighton, United, you know, Brighton, how are they going to score goals, and then United, Old Trafford's a fortress, so you know, how will they possibly win a game there? Obviously, City then win yesterday. Luckily, Haaland didn't score, so that sell Haaland train is still there, which we'll come to. But Alvarez came off the bench and in 12 minutes got a goal and an assist. And his goal was obviously sumptuous, like to follow on from the free kick against Wolves. For me, Julian Alvarez is proof that you should try and aim for a 3-4-3. Like, he's better than any midfielder at 7 mil. I would say he's way underpriced. And he's a season keeper for me. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. In their run coming up, to me, the only hard fixture here is maybe this week's game, Arsenal away. I think they should just rework the FDR. Everything should be 1s and 2s for them, and Arsenal away should just maybe be like a 3. And every other game should be 1 or 2, especially when they're playing at home, right? So there are no bad fixtures for City. I think Alvarez is great. Kind of regret not getting on my wildcard. I was kind of worried with Champions League, but then seeing that he did not start the Champions League game really allayed my fears, I guess. I'm strongly considering going Alvarez this week. Or if not this week, then next. But I don't think you can stay away from Alvarez for too long.
Yeah, so he's on all free kicks. He's on all set pieces. We now have evidence that he is amazing at free kicks. Like that free kick against Wolves is just, you know, postage stamp, top corner, no one's saving that. The goal against Leipzig is just, it is a sign of a guy who is so confident in his abilities right now. Most City fans say he's their best player this season. I can't for the life of me understand why you don't have, like, you know, why people are trying to avoid him while going wildcard this week. And let's talk about these fixtures, right? So Arsenal have not kept a clean sheet at home this season. So I watch Arsenal, I can tell you, right? So at home this season, 2-1 to Forest, so Awoniyi scored. 2-2 to Fulham, I was there, and we conceded in 60 seconds.
Yeah, but that's your fault.
2-2.
It was your presence that... They got nervous knowing that Siva from FL Banger was there watching them in person.
My wife asked me before the start of the game, what do you think the score is going to be? And I said, it's Fulham. I watch them every week. 5-1, easy Arsenal. Probably even 6-0 or something. We sit down 60 seconds and we've conceded. Okay, so after that, 2-2 against Spurs at home. I'm not saying it's a home or away thing, but it's just that Arsenal can be got at. And I think the Lons game, especially this week, shows you that we are not impenetrable. So it's a tough fixture this week, but it's not a game that City can't score in. And then after that, Brighton, United, Bournemouth. I mean, these are some Chelsea. Of these could be, you know, Chelsea. Well, Chelsea, slightly harder now, even, but then I think for,
yeah. Even after that, Liverpool and Spurs, both at home, both of them are not watertight teams. Like, you know, City may lose, maybe, but definitely their goal's going to be in there, especially against Spurs. So, yeah, no such thing as bad for City. Come on.
Yeah, I think the what's giving people the idea that these are bad fixtures is the sort of the freak nature of the Forest result, which, again, red card. So you can't, like, you know, if they don't get Rodri sent off so early, then they're attacking that game. Wolves is one of those, it's a one-off. City always have these games where they'll put up high XG and somehow fail to win inexplicably. Last year, it was Brentford at home. They lost and people thought, okay, you know, they're not winning the title. They turn it around, I think. So, and Rodri is going to be back by game plus, 10. So,
plus, Pedro Neto is like world-class right now, man. City couldn't stop him.
On fire. I mean, this is the Pedro Neto who was supposed to be in our Game Week 1 team last season.
I know. I was just going to say that. Remember the hype with Pedro Neto last year in preseason? And he proceeded to do nothing. But I don't think it was his fault. I think the team was just really bad. He always has been really good, even before that major injury, which he had what, 2 years ago? He was doing really well.
2 years ago.
So he's a quality player.
Yeah. Up to 5.7 mil now. I think great enabler. I think I'd go so far as to say he might be better than, you know, maybe even Gordon or Diaby, simply because he is a 90-minute man. This team has nothing else. So he plays 90 minutes every single week.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And some really good fixtures coming up for Wolves. I like Pedro Neto. But let's sort of finish up with City. I think we both agreed Alvarez, too good value at that price. Let's talk about Haaland, right? A lot of wildcard drafts now appearing without Haaland. I'm so happy. I'm so, so happy he blanked. Because that's just the little push.
Confirmation bias, right? For everyone.
I need people to think that Haaland's a bad asset. Because I want to start enjoying some of these points, man. I know they're coming. The XG is great. It's just not, you know, some things have not happened for him, but it's going to happen. Like, you know that hat-trick is coming. It's going to come soon. And I want to be there and I want people to not be there.
I agree. It's just too risky right now to go without Haaland. I know the argument on the other side is that if the person you bring in does better than Haaland, then you're really going to fly up the ranks. And perhaps I think a lot of content creators on Twitter, they are having really bad seasons by their standard. So they're kind of throwing, like, going all in. Like, okay, I'm going to go without Haaland. And it's either I fly up the rankings or my season's done. Because they really feel like it's done anyway. So I think there's a lot of that going on. And I get it. I was kind of stuck there last year as well. Because I had really bad, like, in the middle of season, I was 2 mil or something, one of my worst seasons ever. So I started making like really risky plays just for fun. Like, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, so be it. You want to go with Haaland, fine. Just, you know, if it doesn't go your way, you have to make peace with that, right? Like, this is the decision you have made. Don't get stressed and, you know, get all like down and depressed and stuff. I'm going to quit FBL and stuff. You're going to do it. Make peace with your decision. And, you know, whatever the outcome, just be at peace with it. Siva, I'm not going to lie. I have been really tempted to go with Haaland as well. There's something in me that, like, it's the years in my teenage years being a hipster. Always trying to be different from everyone. But 90% is just way too much, man. I take the risk if it was 50, 60. 90 is just... Plus, Haaland has not been playing badly. He's only blanked twice this season, you know? Yes, he has had goals with no bonus, so 6 points. Feels a bit underwhelming for the most expensive asset in the game, but... Come on. Come on, man. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, underlying stats, he's so far ahead of everybody on non-pen XG, it's not even funny. And it's just... It's one of those... Guaranteed guy, he almost plays 90 minutes every single week for the best team in the country. The exact kind of team that, you know, having seen these two results where they, you know, actually not even two results, one, you know, the defeat to Wolves, can't count the League Cup. I'm sure they turn it around, and they already did. They beat Leipzig and he still had chances in that game. I'm sure they will, over the next few weeks, just start padding points. And for me, it's an easy hold, I think. But the reason why people are looking to sell is so that they can get Salah and a stacked midfield. Now, we'll talk about some of those stacked midfielders. I think no point discussing Spurs mids, because this week everybody wants Spurs mids. People who don't have them want them. People who have them are going to captain them. So we can skip them. And people are willing to go with...
Okay, we'll get to captaincy at the end. All right, all right.
We'll get to captaincy. People who don't have Arsenal mids or have Saka are willing to sell this week because, as usual, picks up a knock, comes off early, and Arteta is going to give us no answers. I mean, I can already tell you now, he will say, yeah, he's okay, we'll see. And he's lying. We don't know. And he could
I'll tell you right now, or you could... Saka will play. May not start, but he will play. I think Arteta will play Saka unless until you know his legs fall out or something. There's a stat going around. Saka has, I think, 87 consecutive appearances for Arsenal. Consecutive.
In the league, yeah.
Yeah, which is insane because he's definitely been injured, you know, in the past 2 years. But no matter what, Arteta will still play him. May not start, may come on halfway, but I don't know. Is it a bad thing in real life? Yeah, I think so. For FPL, it's good because you know he's going to play. However, Siva, he does not have pants, or does he? We don't know. Does anyone know who have pants in Arsenal now? Or are they just like giving one to everyone? Next game, is Raya going to take a pen?
It's if you didn't check Saka's XG before the game, expected generosity, that's on you, okay? Like, you know, he's a nice guy. That's why he comes across so nice in all these videos and interviews. He's just going to give stuff up. I think I had a good laugh because I don't own Saka. I sold him for Sun, but I had such a good laugh because first goal he scores, and his goal was so annoying. Like, yeah, Neto just... I mean, he's in the right place, right time, but Neto just hands it to him on a plate. But that's, you know, you deserve that. You're playing Bournemouth, so you get a striker who plays Bournemouth. But second goal, obviously, he gives the pen to Odegaard. Third goal, I was thinking, they have to give it to Havertz, right? Because, I mean, Kai Havertz can't score a goal for love of money. So they finally give it to him, and it's so cute. They're pushing him towards the fans, go celebrate. He looks embarrassed. I think, so some people, their theory is Osaka doesn't take pens away from home. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think he is the first choice pen taker.
That's full conspiracy theory, man.
I've heard that on a lot of shows this week. I mean, it's not that. For me, it's quite simple. He is the first choice pen taker. If Odegaard, as captain, says, I want to take it, he'll hand over to him. If he's already scored, I think there's a higher chance he gives it over. Like, I think that's probably why he was quite okay. I think we can assume that Saka no longer plays FPL. You know, he clearly doesn't care about goals.
Or at least doesn't have himself, you know. He has Havertz and Odegaard in his FPL.
Yeah. Good luck if you have Havertz and FPL, mate. But I still think he's a great asset. But obviously, if you're wildcarding this week, you're not going to have him because they play City. So you can take that gamble, I think. But long term, I still think Saka's a great asset. With or without pens, he's still on all the set pieces. He's still, as you say, the 90-minute man in this team. And he will play no matter what. So I think... you could probably sell this week and get away with 1 or 2 weeks, but you're going to want him back soon. So you got to think of your route back to him.
Yeah. I think Saka is just he's a blue chip FPL asset. You know, you just leave him in your team the whole season and he will do well for you. Trying to time, of course, there will be periods where he scores more and periods of blanks. And trying to time it, that's where it gets hard because we tried last season. I think both of us did it. We went Saka to Martinelli, back to Saka and kept missing all the points. Would be better if you just held them. But yeah, Saka definitely blue chip. Keep him whole season if you can. And it's really tempting because sometimes, you know, he may only come with one assist, one goal, and you see other mids, you know, hauling and stuff. You got to be patient, I think, with Saka. I actually do not own Saka the entire season. And I'm planning to fix that very soon. So probably after the City game.
Yeah, same. I think game week 10, Sheffield United, I really want him back. Obviously, eye test, he plays really wide, but doesn't matter. He finds a way to just get those returns. He gets in when it counts for it. Obviously, this week, the assist against Lawrence after the goal against Bournemouth. But coming back to my original point, right? So the reason why people are talking about no Haaland is because you want all these mids. At some point, you're going to want Saka, you're going to want Spurs mids. And one other team, I was told today, like I shared a wildcard draft, which we'll show later. To me, it looks pretty easy. You can actually, if you're wildcarding this week, a lot of the decisions are made for you because of injuries. But somebody told me that team looks weird because you can't get to Bruno and Rashford. Okay. So let's
I'm a United fan. I'm a United fan. And I'm going nowhere near my team, man. Nowhere near.
Let's talk about United for a bit, okay? Because you and I sold our United.
Do we have to, Siva?
Oh, we have to.
What the people want.
I mean, it's what I want. Mate. I don't. Okay, so I sold my United mids about 4 weeks ago. I haven't looked back. You obviously have just got off Rashford last week.
And have not
looked back. Talk to me, because you have not looked back. Good. So I keep... Okay, my general take on this is a lot of FPL content creators, no offense, I don't like using that term because it generalizes people, but I think a lot of FPL content creators are United fans, yourself included. I think
unfortunately, a lot of people in the world are United fans.
Yeah. And I think because United is the most supported club in the world, the biggest club in the world in terms of fan base, so I think a lot of the opinions get skewed. You're either too negative or too positive. And for me, on the FPL side, a lot of it is this team will come good. You have to give them time. They just need a striker. They just need a holding midfielder. They just need a center back. They just need a keeper who can play out from the back. And I think, okay, so they've got all these things and they still lost to Galatasaray. They still looked awful. This is Rashford's shot map we've got on the screen now. 28 shots, one goal. I mean, I want nothing to do with this team. The vibes are bad. The performances are bad. I don't care if they have one or two good fixtures. I would get away from these guys as far as I can until they figure out whatever it is they need to do. Agree?
Yeah. So my argument to that whole holding United assets thing, right? Oh, yeah, they are going to come good. They may come good because they blah, 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 blah. Why hold them through this bad period? We're hoping that they will come good in a few game weeks time. When you can switch to players who are already on form, already doing well, with good fixtures as well, like Spurs assets. And then, you know, if United start firing 2 weeks, get them in. Oh, this is, it's just FOMO, right? This is why it is. It's either FOMO or sunk cost fallacy, where they feel I've already held the United assets for so long, I may as well keep holding them, despite the fact that they are extremely off form, have bad underlying data. You know, like every marker turns towards sell United assets except for fixtures. But yeah, so I think it's sunk cost fallacy. I think it's FOMO. I think it's better to just go for assets who are already doing well, who are already on form, who have good fixtures. And then, you know, in 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time, if United play better, then get them back in. It's not like once you sell them, you can never get them back in, you know, in FPL. So yeah, that's my take on it.
What's your take on people including more? I don't know. I've seen this a few times. People including United players on wildcard this week. What's your take? Because I've seen Dalo and Bruno in a few wildcard drafts.
I think that's crazy because if I were on wildcard this week, there are so many players I want. I can't even fit them in. You have to make tough decisions. And just even without United, you know what I mean? Like, the fact that you think a United asset is better than, you know, a new, like Dalo, for example. If you think Dalo is better than a Newcastle defender, better than Cash, better than Spurs defenders, better than Joachim Anderson, something's wrong with you, man. It's so hard to fit in all the assets that you want. We discussed this, right? You want Salah, you want Alvarez, you want Haaland, you maybe want Watkins. You can take a punt on Darwin. You want both the Spurs midfielders, Son, Maddison. You want Bowen. You want Newcastle attacker, maybe. How do you fit all of that in and still have an argument that, oh, you know, I'm going to have a United asset because maybe they will come good in a few weeks' time? Come on, man.
Yeah. I think a lot of this stems from the fact that they beat Burnley and Bruno returned in that game. But I think this is once again a classic case of having not watched the game. Because if you watch the game, they were completely dominated. They had so few chances. And Bruno's goal was a worldie, which is, as good as he is, it's not something that he, you know, this team is relying on special moments from special players. And that seems to have dried up. I think. But Højlund, let's talk about Rasmus Højlund. Rasmus Højlund. Scored two goals against Galatasaray. Obviously, as usual, when he scored the second goal, I see all the tweets. We are back. We are so back. We are cooking. And then... half an hour later.
I'm embarrassed as a United fan. Embarrassed of my own fellow fans.
But let's park results aside, because we are ultimately focusing on FPL. Haaland, good price. Affordable.
He played well. For Galatasaray. Against Galatasaray. Nailed?
Yeah.
Yes, maybe. Yes, I guess. We have no other striker. But if he really goes on a barren run for a long time, Martial is still in the squad, as unlikely as it seems. So it's not to say that, you know, he's 100% nailed, he has no replacements. There is. It's just he's a lot higher right now. But just United as a whole, can he do that every week? Like what we did against Galatasaray, I don't know. I don't really see it when teams are really parking the bus against us. I don't think we have the quality to break them down. And even in games, like you said, the Burnley game is a good example. We were dominated, man. So, yeah, I would just avoid all United assets. Like, and I mentioned earlier, there are so many strikers that you want. You really have to take a punt on Haaland. I think that's just United bias, because no non-United fan would go for Haaland, I think.
Not to say, man. People see somebody scored goals, they get tempted. I will just say this about the Galatasaray result. Galatasaray not a great team. Okay, like they've got some good players. Mario Icardi is very good. Okay, this is their backline: Angelino, City and Leipzig reject. Bardakchi, Davinson Sanchez, Spurs reject.
Davinson Sanchez. He played really well against us. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Two assists. Okay.
Continue.
Bowie and Muslera. I mean, this is not. And then their holding midfielders were Ayan and Lucas Torreira. Arsenal reject. This is a middling, you know, a mid-table Premier League team, which United seem to not be able to beat. They lost to Palace as well. Palace's lineup was equally unimpressive. A Palace without Orson Edouard, by the way. So, I mean,
by the way, I just want to say that, you know, in last week's podcast, a lot of people are hot on United because they beat Palace midweek, and I said that Palace did not even play their starting four. And once everyone comes back, they're going to be a lot better. And I was right. So,
yeah,
just putting it out.
Definitely. Yeah, the only objective... there are a few shows, I will say, like FML, FPL. They don't need advertising. But I feel like there are a few people who have a realistic take on United. But it seems we're struggling to get there. A lot of people still want to be pro-United, which I don't get. Okay, let's talk about wildcards this week. Obviously, you and I have already played ours, but a lot of people are going this week. So I just sat down for 2 seconds. I didn't want to waste time thinking about this too hard. What's the draft that I can spit out with my team value that I think would look decent? This is what I have. It's I'm told my team value is quite high and therefore a lot of people can't afford this. But they are short by maybe half a mil or 1 mil. But I'll just give you the draft. It's Matt Turner and Areola. Dan Burn, Pedro Porro, Cash, Bowen, Son, Madison, Salah, Haaland, Alvarez, and Watkins with Nakamba, Branthwaite, and Bayer. I think this is the general structure of most wildcards this week. Probably not Bowen, maybe somebody cheaper. Moussa Diaby.
Ward-Prowse, Diaby. Although Bowen is a really good asset.
Maybe both have Bowen. Amazing.
Yeah. I doubled up with Bowen and Ward-Prowse with the original intention to sell one of them this week. But I'm struggling to decide who to sell because Bowen, you know, really attacking right now. I think he's at his best. And Ward-Prowse, also amazing. A bonus point despite not getting any FPL returns. Because he had something like 1.2 expected assists or something like that. Like, he was creating chances like crazy. I can't decide who to sell. Anyway, back to this wildcard. Yeah, looks great. No Trippier. I'm a Trippier convert now. But
I'm a Trippier convert too. I have him in my actual team, by the way. Yeah.
Well, but I guess if you want all these other players, you know, especially if you want Salah and stuff. And we discussed this last week, right? Would you go Salah or Botman or Trippier and Son? We talked about this last week. Turns out Trippier and Son was the correct answer. but
let's talk about it this week, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's say you're on walkout this week. Like, I created this drop because I know this is kind of what the template people are looking at. But personally, I still want Trippier, man. He got another assist yesterday. I mean, let's talk about Newcastle for a bit. 4-1 win against PSG. absolutely dominated them. I told you, you sent me a message that day. You know, what will Mbappe do? He's going to get pocketed by Longstaff and Lascelles. Didn't have
enough. Longstaff scored.
Longstaff scored. Jamal Lascelles looked amazing. I'm scared about Bodman getting his place back. But again, Trippier with another assist. Dan Burn scored. Shah scored. So everyone will think you can go away without Trippier. But I still think Trippier is just too good, man.
I think, I think you won Trippier moving forward. Newcastle's defense looked like they are at their best again. And he's getting assists. He's on set pieces, everything. I think you won Trippier. You will probably have to sacrifice somewhere in this team. It will have to be either Salah or Watkins, maybe. You could play a 3-5-2, downgrade Watkins, and then upgrade one of the mids to a cheaper one. Like, you know, there are a few, like you say, Neto, Barnes, Ward-Prowse, DRB, they're kind of cheap. I think you can probably get there if you do that. Yeah, but these are decisions you have to make, you know?
I think
personally, I'll go without Salah.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Salah's amazing and he looked really scary against Spurs. But I think the sacrifices involved in fitting him are just harder. And I think one thing I don't like about this team is it restricts your flexibility a lot in terms of moving forward and jumping on assets. I don't really... and I think the answer about Newcastle defenders is not whether you get Trippier or Burn. It's whether you get both, to me. Because the defense looks back to its best. I mean, PSG showed up with Goncalo Ramos, Kylian Mbappe, Ousmane Dembele, Kolo Muani, and they scored one goal, which was a very fluky Lucas Hernandez header. And beyond that, they really just didn't have that many chances. And Newcastle's back to their best.
PSG was kind of in bad form. They didn't win in the weekend either, right? So, basically, not to take away anything from Newcastle, because I think Newcastle have been playing great. And you want to jump on their assets.
I think, I feel like Trippier's price is just going to keep going up and up and up. So I feel like you just get him in. There are weeks where you will get annoyed he's not worth the price. But I think over the season, it'll be good enough. I've changed my tune, but I think I watch these games now way closer. And it's terrifying. The amount of chances he creates versus, you know, how many assists he's getting. Like, he could get more in each game. And so coming back to the rest of the team, and basically Salah, I guess. Okay, you and I still on... I think we are probably the last people standing in terms of guys who are okay not owning Salah. Everybody feels like he's essential. I think you get a better balanced team.
Yeah.
You tell me.
I think that it's just like you said, you get a better balanced team, but it's so hard to quantify because Salah will score points, right? And what you're hoping is that by distributing that extra 1 mil, 2 mil here and there in your team, overall you lift the entire level of your team so that it... they as a team, you score more than you would if you had Salah. And it's so hard to quantify because you don't, you know, it's not a A versus B kind of thing. It's basically like A, B, C, D, you know, Salah plus Burn plus this plus that versus Sun plus Trippier plus, you know what I mean? So hard to quantify. I think if you're going to go without Salah, you just got to keep faith in your team. And then just go for it, I guess. I'm quite happy without Salah. Now, things maybe would change, you know, if the Spurs Liverpool result went differently. You know, if Salah got returned there, and maybe I would be more worried. So that's maybe a bit of recency bias for us as well. But at this moment, I think I'm okay to go forward without.
I don't know what you're talking about, mate. He got an assist for Diaz. They scored.
What I mean is like a big call. Like... Oh, yeah. I was just going to say that about Diaz as well. I think I forgot to mention his name when we talked about Liverpool earlier, but I think he is actually a pretty good punt moving forward. If you're going to punt on Darwin or on Liverpool attack, but you've got no space in your forward line, I think Diaz can be a cheeky punt. Klopp likes him. He plays very direct. And I think if he scored that goal, which he should have, a lot of people will be more hot on him this week.
Yeah. I mean, if that goal stands, I think the conversation is slightly different. So it's one of those... and he had other chances as well. He looked really good. I just think... I don't want to use points as a metric. Points is a very bad metric. But I could use points as a metric. Salah has 44 points. If we assume he got the assist that day, he would have had... What is that? 47? Let's give him bonus. You know, 49, 50. Saka's on 53, Sons on 51, Bowen's on 48, Odegaard, Madison, Diaby, Mitoma, all in and around there. And then you've got the forwards. Julian Alvarez has more points than Salah. I mean, I'm not saying that Salah isn't better than all these guys, but is he 6 million better? Is he 4 million better? Is he, you know, is he that? I just feel like you, and I think a lot of Salah teams this week did have a tough week. Not all of them, because they couldn't spread the cash as much. They couldn't get to all these other guys.
Yeah. I think now Salah will return. Like, we're not saying that he won't. We're not saying he's a bad asset. It's just in terms of points per million value. I think, you know, your team is better served spreading it out. Especially if you have Haaland, you know. If you want to go without Haaland, then yeah, sure, get Salah. Get everyone you want. It's funny. I just looked up the points value on FPL. And the number one value midfielder, joint. There are two players who are joint top in midfielders. Neto, which we already know has been a really good asset. And very quietly, Matthias Jensen from Brentford, who has two goals and two assists already. And just kind of ticking in the points. Slowly, 6 bonus points as well. I know no one ever is going to go Jensen. If you play... what's the term for it? Zombie? No.
Draft.
Not draft. What's the one where you don't make any transfers the entire season?
Yeah, set and forget. Yeah.
Yeah, set and forget. Ooh, excellent asset. just putting it out there. I guess if you're looking for someone who is below 5.5, because Neto is 5.7, Matthias Jensen is only 5.4. So it's a good asset, I think, to have. Just like long term on the bench if you need a 5.5 bench option or something.
I mean, no one's going to go for Jensen this week, but I think, and Bomo owners like myself are suffering because dude is not getting anywhere near the goal. And I think Brentford in general are having serious issues since they've lost Kevin Schade and Rico Henry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we know that they have a blank in 18 and they are likely to have a double in game week 20. So I think that's when we'll start looking again.
I did not know that, Siva. I did not know that they were blank in 18. So thanks for that information.
Yes. So we didn't cover this last week, but Brentford and City will blank in 18. And
wait, City as well? Whoa. Okay. Why are they
blanking? Least informed content creator. They're blanking with Club World Cup, I think. So one of those things.
Yeah.
So Ben currently expects, it's not confirmed, but he expects that City and Brentford to then have a double in game week 20. City's double would be Brentford and Sheff United, which would triple captaincy, easy, close your eyes, do that. It's around Christmas time, so obviously that's the scary part.
In light of this new information, I would highly recommend selling Haaland and avoiding all City assets because they have an upcoming blank. It's about 10 weeks time.
Good point. And good luck to people trying to fit them back in just before the double. last point on this draft and just wildcards in general. Bench. Obviously, a lot of comments that bench looks disgusting, mate. I wouldn't go near it. I've got Nakamba, Brantwit, and Bayer. Now, my easy reply to this is, I have a stacked bench right now because I walk out it early. I have a very good bench, actually. Estupinan, Ruben Dias, Raheem Sterling all came in clutch this week. Dias got a -1. Estupinan got a -2. And Sterling got 0. So I have now reached the point, and this is reactive, but I think benches are overrated. And, just get cheap benches, mate.
This is how we used to play FPL, Siva. Do you remember back in the days where there were multiple good expensive assets, Haaland, Kane, Salah, going even further back. But anyway,
Van Persie. We all used,
Van Persie and all these guys. We always had the cheapest bench possible because there's just no other way you're going to fit 2 premiums in your team. We are spoiled right now, or we were spoiled last season because of Haaland. Like, everyone just had Haaland, just kept at him every single game, and then we were done with it. And then we suddenly had so much money that we, didn't need to save on the bench and stuff. But yeah, this is how FPL is supposed to be played, guys.
Yeah.
Although I would say I'm a fan of rotating defenders. Now, it hasn't worked out for me with Joachim Anderson. But I've always been a fan of the 4.5 rotation. You know, if you can find two 4.5 assets who rotate well, I like it. I would go for it. But yeah, other than that, you know, I think getting the cheapest bench possible is fine. What you're really banking for is all your players will play. And if they weren't going to play, you would transfer them out anyway. Of course, there's the risk of like a sudden benching or sudden injury that was not reported and stuff like that. But the risk is so low. And at least when, you know, if they don't play, you got 2 points coming in. So that's fine. Yeah, I'm okay with having a cheap bench.
To me, it's not this. I mean, I don't think the risk is low. I think unexpected injuries now are going to be quite common. This week alone, we've seen how many people dropping like flies. Manus Solomon is out. Stupinan is out. Yeah. Botman is out.
No, but you know, it's not unexpected in the sense that you know that they're injured. Most of the time, it gets reported like 90% of injuries should at least get reported somewhere before the match starts. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, it depends, mate. I mean, Eddie Howe said on Friday, Wilson and Botman have a chance. We're going to take a late fitness test. And then 2 days later, out for a month. So, I mean, I don't think you will always know. But what I would get at is this. You can't plan your subs to be good. Like, let's just say, because I had a Stupinan come off my bench. I had him second bench. He came off. It's an extreme circumstance where you get a minus two. But ultimately, you're still playing Villa. Let's say it's next week and Estupinan comes off my bench unexpectedly and he's playing Liverpool. He's probably not going to do well. And so you can't really plan this. Like when it happens, even if you have a good bench, the guys coming off it may have a bad fixture that week or they may blank for whatever reason. So unless you're buying fully into rotation, if you want to, you do so. But I don't think just having a strong bench for the sake of having a strong bench is a great idea. Playing bench, yeah. Sure, I'm down with that. So these guys all play every week. That's about as much as I would do. I think beyond that, you need to get really lucky that, in your case, Joachim Andersen, if you had had him first bench and if you had had an injury, he would have come on in a so-called difficult fixture and got you 15 points. But that is such a, you need so much luck for that to even happen.
Yeah. 100% agree, Siva. Let's go back to the way FPL is supposed to be played. With cheap benches. Yeah. Not even fully playing. I remember there were seasons where I had like only one guy who really plays and the other two was just like the cheapest possible 3.9, 3.8 defenders I could find. But yeah.
And people are going to turn up their nose at a Burnley defender. But we said this last week, Burnley were going to win that game. They won that game. And Bayer would have had a bonus point if they'd held on to their clean sheet. So for me, I mean, the fact that you got a team with multiple 4.0 defenders, don't say no to it. Shall we talk about captaincy?
Yep.
All right. So who are you captaining this week?
Son or Madison? Has to be one of them, I think. Right? Yeah. Son, yeah. So-called safer pick. Madison, spicier pick. Logically, though, I think Son has to be the answer because Madison just doesn't really have haul potential anyway. So even if he does return, you know, has he even gone double digit this season? Let me see.
He has.
Once. I don't know if he did have a 9-pointer twice, so that's the whole... How much difference does 1 point make? But anyway...
People are not going to be happy they use the word double digit haul, but go ahead.
It's math, guys. There are two numbers in that... There are two digits in that number.
If he gets 9 points? Oh, bad week. 10 points. Bad. Yeah, that's...
That's what I'm saying. That anyway, Son, you know, 20 pointer, 14 pointer, higher ceiling, I guess. And I know there's some debate right now about this whole term floor and ceiling and stuff like that, because Watkins, who supposedly does not have a high ceiling, smashed it. I don't know. I think there is genuinely based on styles of play. There will be players who, like Madison, 2 assists will be a great game for him. Most games, he'll just come out with just 1 assist. And there will be players who, when they're on it, right? And they tend to get more hauls, like Son. Watkins generally tends to be the former. You always have outliers, you always do. But, you know, it's proven by stats over a few seasons that that's just the kind of player he is. Anyway, yeah, Son or Madison, I will not captain Haaland away against a top six team. His track record last season shows that he tends to struggle away. Now, if he's at home, doesn't matter who he plays, you should captain him. but away top six, yeah.
Fair. Would you cap Salah over the Sun mids? I mean Spurs mids.
No, I would not. However, I don't know. Okay, let me try and think. If I had Salah, maybe I would. It's kind of a, if you have Salah, it's a big differential. Not many people manage to get to him. So you want to make full use of it. You might captain him. Yeah, I can see the argument for it.
Okay. What do you think about Spurs v low block? I mean, Luton, allegedly a low block team. Spurs struggled against Sheffield United. Obviously, a lot of us had Son. A lot of us capped him. Is that going to happen again?
My worry is not so much the low block. It's the fact that both Peter Solomon and Brandon Johnson are injured. So they have to play Richarlison. I still think Son will play in the middle and Richarlison can kind of play on the wing because he has in pass and he did that previous game.
Yeah.
And he played better, right?
Got an assist.
But, yeah. But actually, I've been really impressed by Peter Solomon and even Brandon Johnson in the two starts that he's made. So unfortunate their injury. I don't know how that will affect Spurs as a whole. So that is my only concern.
Concerns about Son now, quite clearly a 70-minute guy. Like, and he has spoken about how he's not 100% and he talks to Postecoglou. He would like to play more, but Postecoglou wants to take care of him. So, I mean, it wouldn't be surprising again to see Son come off with 20 minutes to go. So is 70 minutes against Luton good enough? Or do you just go 90 minutes for Salah or 90 minutes for Maddison?
From who? Maddison?
Yeah.
Did you say Maddison?
Because Maddison and Salah should play the full games, whereas Son, I think we can reasonably assume he's coming off on 70, 75.
I think if you're going like... Now, if it's not guaranteed to start, that's a different thing. But if they're all guaranteed to start and your only worry is that he might be subbed off early, I think you're just maybe overthinking it. Like, you should just captain the player you think would do the best, would score the best, score the most goals, score the most points. And, you know, if you're thinking Son is the best asset, like, oh, good fixture, he's on form, I want to get Son. Oh, wait, he might come off at 70 minutes. Okay, I won't captain him then. I think that's just overthinking it, you know. Now, if you're undecided, then that's a different story. If you're undecided between Son and Salah and you think that reduced minutes swings it in Salah's favor, then go for Salah. Yeah. As for me, though, so I'm quite convinced on Son, so I'm going Son.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. Yeah, and I think I'm also going with Son. Unless, and they're the early kickoff. So if he's not starting, I assume it will.
They're the early kickoff. Okay, that changes everything, Siva. You can't captain the early kickoff. The early kickoff. Yeah.
No, Gandhi is okay with other Asian people, so Son will be fine. But Maddison,
okay, so don't captain Maddison. Yeah, captain Son or any other Asians that play early.
We'll probably get like cancelled.
Like that Korean guy from Wolves.
Yeah, so see, Pep, that's karma for Pep, mate. What do you mean, that Korean guy? Like, there are like three Koreans in this league, mate. Learn some names.
There's only three Koreans in this team, in this league. I mean,
there's probably only two, actually, I think. But, I mean, okay, so yeah, I think we're both agreed on Sun. And I just, while you think about other Koreans in the league, penalty box guy and Luton for all their so-called low block. I mean, Burnley just walked through it. So, I mean, again, Lyle Foster. I said Lyle Foster, man. If he wasn't suspended, but yeah, Lyle Foster walked through that low block and scored his goal. I expect Son to do the same. Easy game for me.
I don't get this obsession against low block. Like, oh, they're playing low block, so can I mean. That's the reason why these teams play low block. And despite playing low blocks, they tend to concede the most goals in an entire season. So it's not like, oh, they're playing a low block team, so you know, no goals are gonna flow.
People like to think that because it's a low block team, so I should get the guy who's maybe on set pieces, who will score from distance, so Maddison there. But I think the Sheffield United result is one of those, your keeper who you're facing has a really good day and things go right for you. You know, then it works out. But more often than not, it doesn't. Like you say, that's why teams play with low blocks. You'll get a couple of results where it works for them. I don't think it works for Luton. And Luton have injuries in their back line. Amari Bell came off. He's their first choice left center back. He came off. I think they will have issues again. And Luton have had much less rest than Spurs for this game, right? Spurs have had the whole week. Luton played 2 days ago. So, and they lost. Very demoralizingly.
Yeah.
What's the word? I mean, they lost a very late goal, having just conceded. So all those factors, early kickoff, mate, is not important to me. Sun, easy cap.
Agreed. No arguments there. Although I do not like the fact that we're going to captain the same person. But yeah, for the listeners, yeah, Captain Sun.
For all the logical people. I think nothing else this week, right, Sam? That should be us.
No, that's it. Sorry if my voice has been sounding, especially those of you who are listening without video, right? Kind of struggling with a cold right now, a bit nasally, voice a bit more sexy, I guess. But get your green arrows, guys. Yeah, we'll see you next week. Get your green arrows.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, just a second.